If Parashat Shmini definitely does have Yom HaShoah reverberations in terms of dealing with national loss. In this case, the number of people who passed away are just two, but it's certainly a national loss. And it's a national loss that's intertwined in a very complicated way with national celebration. And there is that very striking image of Ayidom Aaron, of Aaron being quiet, being mekabel, the gezeir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, without a lot of verbal response at one point. And we want to take a look together at the Ramban in right here. Pasuk Yud, Pasuk Gimel. The first Ramban in the Parsha, here's the page in that Va, in the Cheval edition. The first Ramban in the Parsha, he starts talking a little bit about what it was that that the Bnei Aaron did wrong. And that's something he picks up with later also. We really want to focus on Moshe's conversation with Aaron. Here, Parak Yud Pasuk Gimel, the check mark. Hu asher diber Hashem lemor b'korvai ekadesh, apnei kala am ikavei. And Moshe says to Aaron, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us. B'korvai ekadesh. I will become kadosh through my krovim, through those who are close to me. Apnei kala am ikavei. They will, as a result, be... there'll be a recognition by the whole people of the kavod or the kvedus, the gravity of the Rav Shalom, the gravity of what it means to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Ramban's first question is Heichad Diber. And here he's quoting from Rashi. Heichad Diber. Hu asher diber Hashem lemor b'korvai ekadesh. This is what Moshe says to Aaron. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us. Look, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, b'korvai ekadesh. That Kiddush Hashem Shamayim will come to those who are closest. Presumably trying to say to Aaron, this is incredibly tragic, but we recognize at least that at the same time that it's tragic, it is also a recognition that none of you were Krovai, or Krovai Hashem. See, because the Rashi, Weheichan Dibet, where was this said exactly? Where else in Chumash, earlier, do we find the Pasuk be Krovai Kiddush? It says, the answer is, v'nikdash b'chodi, going back to in Chumash Shemos, v'nikdash b'chodi, that sounds like pshuto, it means, I'll become kadosh through my kavod. There'll be kvod shamayim, there'll be a mishkan, there'll be kvod shamayim, there'll be kiddushim shamayim. So Rashi quotes, al tikri b'chodi adam l'chubad, b'chubada, not b'chodi, not that the kiddushim shamayim through kavod of Hashem, but through michubadim. These people who are respected members of Rav Shalom's team. Amar la Moshe Aaron, Rashi continues. Aaron Achi, and brother Aaron, and there he says she's kadesh abayis min da avshal kadesh baruch. I knew that something was going to happen. I knew that the kedusha of Beis Hashem of Mishkan would be communicated through min da avshal kadesh baruch. Those who are close to Rav Shalom. The crow. Aisi sabro bilvach. I thought it would be near you. I thought it would be either near you. Apparently, your sons are more kadosh than either of us. But the Kadosh Baruch Hu saw fit to be mekadesh shemo through none of our beer rather than through Moshe. Lashon Rashi in Medrash Rav Hosei. That's Rashi based on the Midrash Chazal. Rashi Shavel tells you it's the Yikar Rav. Rabban said this Yikar Rav is difficult. What's difficult for Yikar Rav? And Ken Yitam Benikdash Bechodi, She Yiyah Kadosh Be'enei Kol Ha'am Hu Ve'mechubadi Ve'yei De'u Ki'ani Shochein Bo. Benikdash Bechodi, you have to say that it's the people will recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu through Mechubadim. They will therefore know Ken Yishof Yimbo. It's a difficult reading the Pasuk. The Rebbe Avraham, Reish Avzer in Rabban Rebbe Avraham, Ibn Ezra. Tavki Hamar, Hu Hashem Dibre Hashem Bimar, Bar Omar Li Hashem Shiyar Ev Kiddush Hazad Bikar Hirila. And Rosh already already told me that he's going to demonstrate his kedusha through those who are closest to him. Ketav, where the pasuk is Ibn Ezra quote, Rak eschem yadat mikomish pachoso adonot. I knew you more than all the other families. So that pasuk, which that goes back to that's the pasuk in Amos. The Rosh says, I knew that Kash Baba told me that. Kasher era bam kedusha sizu azay nechabala pnei kol am the yiru umimen. But everyone else in the Zeretz, even Ezra is not quite the same pasuk, but the same idea. The what? Kadosh Baruch Hu told me. A. And B. Kadosh Baruch Hu told me what? That the people will recognize kedushas Hashem through that which will happen to someone. In Cain, who deeper l'nechta. Rabban says if that's true, if even Ezra is right. It's a deeper lo nechtav. What does that mean? It's a deeper lo nechtav. It's a question deeper Hashem lemar. The pasuk here says, "This is what God said." So God said, "Lo nechtav." This is apparently a reference. Interesting, a reference to Nevu that Moshe had done that was not recorded in the Chumash of the Torah. According to Rashi, it's the reference to the pasuk that we have in Yekdash, but it's not the same language, but the same idea. Ibn Ezra says this idea that's expressed in Amos. That's not the pasuk that doesn't appear in Chumash, so it means a deeper lo nichta. This is a nevuah that Moshe had gotten that wasn't written down, which is interesting. It means not every here it's being mentioned later in conversation. It means not every nevuah that Moshe gets, even during the time that he was a leader of Klal Yisrael, even after leaving Israel. Not every, according to Ibn Ezra, not everything said to Moshe Rabbeinu that HaKadosh Baruch would choose to record into Hashem Sa. It's a fascinating idea. Rabban says, really? A deeper lo nichta. Kadosh Baruch Hu explained what's that reference? Kadosh Baruch Hu explained how he works to an extent. This is part of what Kadosh Baruch Hu taught him. And Moshe said, look, Kadosh Baruch Hu told me this. I knew this was going to happen. By the way, the Rabban is full of references to the language of Tanakh. He just made a reference that the Rishavel doesn't foot on. There's a pasuk that you know well. And it's a pshat also, I'm not saying, in terms of when did HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem hu di'odir rachav shekach ha-mi'ezor sopam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had told him his ways, that this is how he operates. What's that a reference to? Hodi'in as kodecha, right? Hodi'in as kodecha. They say, Hashem hu di'odir rachav. That's what it says in Kithisa. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please teach me how you operate. And not this issue, I'm very close to this issue. Sometimes good things happen, we understand. Sometimes bad things happen, we understand. It's like Kadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe Rabbeinu says, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I want to understand how you operate. So if I understand how you operate in this world, I'll be able to be a better Jew, be able to be a better Obed Hashem. I'll be able to devote Tzachem Be'enacha more, if I even more understand how you operate. What did Kadosh Baruch Hu, by the way, respond to? Which I mentioned, the classic understanding of it. To be able to understand sometimes in retrospect, after things, events have happened more than when events are in the process of unfolding. The truth is, the Gemara Brach in the first paragraph says explicitly that conversation of Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is about this issue of Tzadik Ra'al Rasha V'Tovu. What Moshe was troubled by, he asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, can you please explain to me? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I will not fully give you the answer. I'll give you a little bit of insight. We're not going to fully give the answer. It's exactly the issue of what's called in English theodicy. Tzadik v'ra'al. How do you make sense of things seeming unfair? The people who seem to be good people that are unplugged. They suffer. The people who are rishayim, who are evil people, and they do well. It's a problem that's discussed extensively in a mizmor of Tehillim that we recite at least three times a week. Mizmor of Tehillim that our Masorah has it goes, when they go back to Adma Rishon. It's Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos.
I was going to say.
It's Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbos. That's what we talk about, right?
It's only when we see people. No, that's not for a long time.
Then Shishon for Sunday, we also say.
Oh,
Monday, Tuesday, right?
may you regret. That's a mitzvah for Shabbos, that's Mizrach. It's talk that Famifra's at the end. But that the whole mitzvah is about the person's looking around and is trying to make sense of how come the Rishayim are flourishing. This is the major problem. And then Moshe may ask that Kadosh Baruch. Moshe was the greatest Navi. The greatest asked that Kadosh Baruch. He asked that Kadosh Baruch. Kadosh Baruch said, explain to you a little bit, but I will not explain to you. Humans will not fully understand this. So that sounds like Pasha Pan Agnes. It's actually a little bit surprising that the Shagal doesn't footnote that possible. And because oftentimes Ramban's biblical references add to the beauty of the language, but not necessarily adding to the understanding of what it is he's trying to say. Here he sounds like he's not saying a fart, as he's saying, according to Ibn Ezra, there's no pasuk. It's a deeper Lord Yerkab. Moshe making reference to something that got to go to Torah Shabbat. It's being mentioned there of Agav in the Chumash as a Moshe mentions that Torah Shabbat in conversation to Arab. That's how it makes it to Chumash. Now, then, when Rabban says, I can tell you what I'm talking about, told Moshe Rabbeinu. That Parsha Kisisa. This is part of the woman of Kadosh Baruch Hu, the partial answer Kadosh Baruch Hu gave, included this idea of the Nikdash of the Krovaya Kadesh. So Kadosh Baruch Hu taught in the Torah Shavuot Peven, and Moshe says to Aaron, this is what Kadosh Baruch Hu told me. Moshe be Bir Hashem. The Krovaya Kadesh, interesting, very fascinating. He developed it, and then Rabban has his own shot. Again, Rashi says, Moshe Dibur Hashem is a reference to a nevuah to Moshe that appears as a pasuk elsewhere, and not verbatim, the language elsewhere. Moshe is paraphrasing language elsewhere in Dash Bishwaz. And Ibn Ezra says, it's something that Hashem had told Moshe, does not mention elsewhere, it was Torah Rapeh, now Moshe mentioned to Aaron. Rabban himself says, Uladahi, here we are on page Mem Zayin. Take a look inside, it's 5 lines from the top. 5 lines from the top of page Mem Zayin. Uladahi, what do I think? Says Rabban, my opinion is, Bederech Hapshat Ein Sarah Behoza. He says, the Ezra should say on Derech Rash, but on Derech Pshat, he thinks, even Ezra is trying to say, it's also a Pashtani. The Rabban says, I don't think Ibn Ezra needs to say like that. But I would say something intriguing. And as we read the next one, Rabban, tell me which Mishnah in Pirkei Avos is it's a reference to. Well, the Da'ati, the Derech Hapshat, 6 letters from the top, in Tzarev L'Chazad. No, you need this. Kidvar Hashem Gzerasov Machshav Tov Inyan Derachav. What's Dvar Hashem mean? Kusher Diber Hashem. So Rabban makes a very fascinating link between a verb and a noun that share the same shorash. He says, you think about the word Lidaber is to issue a Dibur, or to issue a Davar. So he says, Dvar Hashem doesn't necessarily mean the spoken word of God. Dvar Hashem could also mean the gezerosav, machashavto, the inyan derachav. The Kadosh Baruch Hu's decision, the Kadosh Baruch Hu's thought, so to speak, which that itself is a metaphor, and the idea behind how he operates, inyan derachav. The hadibur yeomer b'chol eila. And the term dibur can be applied to all those. It doesn't have to necessarily have been a sound that was heard by a human being. That's not always the way it is. I would add, let's first see how the Rabban goes and then come back to understand what more he means by Bederech HaPshat. Rabban gives examples. Dibri Meir B'chol Eila. Dibarta Niyam Libi. It means Chashavti Machshav Azu. I spoke with my heart. I spoke with my mind. It doesn't mean that he was talking to himself. It means that he was like, Vayom Rahman Beliba. It doesn't mean he actually said the words. But certainly, Dibarta Niyam Libi. Gezeha Davar Shermo Yehoshua. This is the Davar that this is near the couple proclamant Yehoshua. Yeshua brings him into Eretz Yisrael, and in advance of the first Karm Pesach on Israeli soil, they have a mass mila. Zeha davar asher mol Yehoshua. This is the speech that Yehoshua circumcised? No. It means this is the idea, this is the program, this is the plan. It means zeha inyan, or al devar hakesef. Again, it doesn't mean necessarily there was discussion. Where is Al-Devar HaKesef? They tell you a point on the bottom. That's Yosef and the brothers. Al-Devar HaKesef Mushav. It means about that topic.
But he ishala ben adonech kasher diber Hashem. Goza. The kamau ba'aviram b'charo yisada uv'seguv tiro heitziv delasaha. Who remembers that? Which city is that a reference to? It was a Jew who violated the din and rebuilt Yericho. And it was his children died over the course of the construction, and he just kept going. His oldest son dies. His Bechar, what was his name? What would you say? Aviram passed away at laying the foundation, and this Jew just keeps going, and his children keep dying. And finally, this Guv Tziro Heitziv D'Laseh. It sounds like the last step was installing the doors, and his youngest son Seguv died at the time. Kidavar Hashem Eshedibir B'Yad Yerushalayim Benun. Not necessarily a direct nevuah from HaKadosh Baruch. So the Ramban says, Bipshuto, davar doesn't have to mean speech. It just means an idea. It means a plan. Now, just as in before we see how the Ramban brings that idea back to us, we'll see that in a moment, is they take this definition, redefinition of Dibur, and say, now I can understand our Pasuk, just two things to consider. Number one, I mentioned before, and it's an interesting interplay from a grammatical standpoint. Ramban is assuming that davar and dibur, lidaber, the verb, and davar are going to mean the same thing, which is interesting. We usually don't even think about that. We take as a davar, pashat, right? That davar doesn't necessarily mean words. Eila advarim, advarim shadibur moshe. But we don't often think, we sort of intuit that davar can mean a thing, or davar can mean an idea. Not necessarily a word, but dibur we think of a speech. Rabbi is pointing out, it's the same shorish. It ought to follow. Almost all of his rayas here were from the word davar, not from lidaber. So that's the interesting sensitivity, grammatical or philological, lexicographical sensitivity that Rabban has. If it's the same shorish, but dal beis resh is a shorish behind not only the verb but also behind the word davar, they ought to go hand in hand. The other interesting point is when he says, "B'derech ha'pshat in tzorach l'chol zeh," al pi pshuto, you don't need to take this approach. So just to understand a little more what that means. It's another one I mentioned before. He's responding more to Ibn Ezra than to Rashi, because Rashi, as Rabban himself pointed out, is quoting the Mishnah Chazal. He says, "Okay, derech drash, fine." Derech pshat, which is what Ibn Ezra is trying to do, the Rabban is saying, I don't think that's where you have to go, derech pshat. I would say different. Right? And working off of a redefinition of what lidaber means. What shediber Hashem doesn't mean God spoke. So we'll see in a moment what he does with it. This is one more idea to consider, to appreciate in this piece of the Rabban, this background build up the Rabban, in addition to, again, the noun verb, interpreting a noun based on the verb, if they should have shorish, is that Shefka likes to point out that there's a common pattern in the Midrashay Halacha in the Bavli in terms of the word davar. The number of different places where the Talmud Bavli darshins davar to mean dibur, even when it doesn't seem to fit in al-pipshuto, like zedavara hashmita. Zedavara hashmita is the Torah's introduction for shmita. Which part of shmita? Shmita is ksafim. Shmita is not only for agriculture, as you know, shmita is also financial. If I owe you money, if we didn't execute a prosbul, and I owe you money, to when Shemitah, we pass when Shemitah ends, dissolves, that ends my requirement to pay back. But the Gemara derives from the word terminology that devour Shemitah, that it's supposed to be a dibur, that it's supposed to be a conversation, that I ought to offer to pay you anyways, but even if I offer to pay you, you have a chiyuv to decline. But if I insist, then if I say afal pichem, you take it. That's based on zed devar shmita. It's a chiyuv dibur. You have to make an honest, not a fake, an honest statement of forgiveness. The guy insists, okay, you fulfill your devar shmita. Devar again, al berach drash, meaning dibur. Zed devar harotzeach. Who here is on the sounds? Marcus. Zed devar harotzeach. The dibur, a conversation that the rotzeach is supposed to have. No. Actually, it already is a rotzeach. It goes to your mikvah. The guy is convicted not of murder, but of essentially manslaughter, or even perhaps less. Right? Involuntary. inadvertent, he killed Bishogi, he's chayiv to go into prison of sorts, he's chayiv to go into Galus. Galus probably is the one time when you find min haTorah, a permanent punishment of imprisonment, different type of imprisonment. But the Jew goes into Galus, the Jew is sent into Galus, now he has to live there, and he's strongly incentivized to stay inside because there's a possibility that if he leaves, he's maybe a marked man. But now he's supposed to stay inside the Amikla, but the conversation he's supposed to have, which conversation? Conversation, Gemara says, is that if they want to give him kavod, he has to refuse. Right? He gets tucked away later in the parak. But that's the same drasha. There are a few places throughout the Rosh Hashanah to point that more than once. A few places throughout the Babli where the Gemara has that same type of drasha to understand on their drash, to understand davar as meaning dibur. Even when it seems out of context, but then the Gemara understands if he Torah used the word davar, that means there's some verbal component to the din also. Golas seems very physical. He's sent to Golas. Right? No, but there's a davar, there's a verb, but also this conversation he has to reject their attempts to give him covered while he's in Golas. So that may be perhaps part of what the Ramban is driving at here. Yes, al derech drash, davar also means the speech. So al derech drash, fine. Dibur, davar, all means speech. Al derech pshat, davar doesn't have to mean speech. And so then al derech pshat, then it goes to the other piece. And then al derech pshat, even with being presented as a verb instead of an M, that's we see each either. So now let's put the pieces together. He says, now that I developed this idea, that the verb lidaber need not mean to speak. Hine Amar Moshe. So Moshe says, here we are, three lines for the bottom of the number 65. Hine, now he's going to give his shot in counterpoint to the Ibn Ezra. What do you mean? Who Asher Diber Hashem Leimar Bikor VaYakadesh? This is what HaKadosh Baruch had been midaber, that I will operate with. That there'll be an increase of Kiddushim Shemayim through those who are close to me. Bikor Vay Hamikra Moshe's Hamikra Azeh Who Asher Gozar Hashem Leimar Elibo Bikor VaYakadesh. It says HaKadosh Baruch apparently had made a decision. That's the key word, apparently. Because Rabban says, unlike Rashi, without derech drash, but unlike Ibn Ezra, also derech pshat, Rabban says, Moshe's not saying, oh, I knew this. Oh, I knew this already. Okay, here we see it. He says, no. Moshe is it's a very different stance. For Rashi and Ibn Ezra, Moshe's going up to Tara and saying, you know, we knew this was going to happen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told us this was going to happen. We know it's going to play this way, but we knew this was something that was going to happen. Rabban says, we didn't know this was going to happen. It's not Dibur Hashem told me, either the part that appears in the pasuk or this Torah Shel Bal Peh. No, because Rabban never told me anything. Who Asher Dibur Hashem not spoke to me. Dibur Libo. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he's not saying I knew. He's saying, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu planned this. It wasn't random. Remember we saw many months ago, we learned the second parak of Chaz Nishas and Bitachon. We saw, he opens up by saying, Bitachon doesn't mean that what I want to happen is necessarily going to happen. Sometimes people make that mistake. Have Bitachon that you'll pass the test. Have Bitachon that you'll get into the class you want, the yeshiva you want, the girl you want to marry, the job you want, the program you want, whatever it is. Right? And sometimes you hear the Baba's, the Yiddish of Baba's voice saying, you have to have Bitachon that XYZ is going to happen. Chaznish says, that's not exactly accurate. It's empirically false. Things don't always happen the way we expect them or want them to happen. So if that's bitachon, it's not true. Chazal says that's not what bitachon is. Bitachon doesn't mean that what I want to happen is going to happen. What bitachon does mean is that what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to happen will happen. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has my long-term ultimate best interest in mind. Which the truth is actually in the moment seems much less positive. I wanted XYZ to happen, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu decided not. In a deeper level, it's actually much more calming. There's someone infinitely wiser than I who is guiding the situations I meet in life. It's not just up to me to make that call. Kadosh Baruch Hu is making that call. So that's on a profound level, it's actually very, very calming. That the Kadosh Baruch Hu, in his infinite wisdom, is making sure, is overseeing the things that happen. But I don't necessarily, I'm not necessarily privy to it. So that's what that's really sort of like the image you get from Rabban. Moshe is not saying to Aaron, I knew. Hashem told us. Hashem told me. He's saying, we didn't know. But this was HaKadosh Baruch Hu's decision. This wasn't random. Hu Asher, three lines from the bottom of the paragraph. Page number is that. Hu Asher Gazar Hashem Lemor Libo V'Korvaya Kadesh Shol Yerasu HaKadosh Hasi. HaKadosh Baruch Hu had made the decision that when they were, that these Kerovim will give their lives. And the next piece, by the way, that's very significant, subtle and very significant, there were changes Rabban is making, it would be kedai to look inside, is not only is there no, according to Rabban, Moshe's not saying, I knew this already, he's just saying, we had no idea this was coming, but we know that Kadosh Baruch Hu was driving it. There's another angle, which is, the Ramban is because of that. The Ramban introduces it as the response to Chet. This wasn't. This didn't have to happen. For Rashi and Ibn Ezra, so like they wait. This had. It was going to be someone. It was like the way Rashi presents it. I thought it would be me. I thought it would be you. It was them instead. Ramban is saying, no. We didn't. Akash Baruch didn't tell us in advance. But it sounds like in response to. There would be horeis el kedushasi. None of Aviv decided to trample on the kedusha of Mishkan. So Hakadosh Baruch Hu made a reasoned decision to respond with the misa of Nadav Aviv. Not like it had to be. It was a response. Apreka amei kaved shiyu noagin kavod b'mishkani. Now people will, as a result, you know, kavod b'mishkan. This idea also, before we read the last line he's going to talk about Edom Aaron. The Edom Aaron, he says, before we read the last line of Edom Aaron, just worth considering the following, to consider some of the maybe the larger significance of this idea of the Rabban about thinking about Dibur, and how Dibur means speech, but Dibur also means a plan, an idea, a program, a goal. That may reflect a notion in Machshava and Musar that's also reflected by a din that we practice this season of the year. And the halachas of Sfira Sa'omer, Achronim point out, this is an idea that's worth developing maybe more extensively at a different time, but just to develop it briefly for a couple minutes, Achronim point out that Sfira Sa'omer is an exception to several different rules that govern, global rules that govern mitzvahs. The Dvar Avraham is not the first one to point out, but he's gives perhaps the most creative solution to the question of why isn't there Sveika Dioma by Sfira Sa'omer. Sfira Sa'omer is supposed to start the first day of Chol Moed Pesach. So if we're profiting 2 days of the first day of Pesach, so we should also start counting Sfira Sa'omer number one for what we call the first night of Chol Moed. In other words, the first night of Chol Sfira Sa'omer we count one. And the next time we should have counted tonight is two or one. Next time we should count tonight is three or two. Tonight is four or three. That's the same Sveika Dioma. Same Sveika Dioma as having, keeping Pesach, Yom Tov and Pesach, supposed to be one day on both Tezvav and Tezayin. So we should start counting Sfira Sa'omer both Tezayin and Yudzayin. So it's a question that predates the Dvar Avraham, and there are several different answers. But the answer that he gives relates to two other curiosities about Sfira Sa'omer also. In addition to not being governed by Sveika Dioma, if you look at Mishnah Berurah, close to our earlier poskim, that it's also an exception to the rule. You know the Mishnah in Sota, the first Mishnah in the seventh paragraph of Sota says, of the mitzvahs of Amira, the mitzvahs involve speech, so Eilem Marim B'Lashon HaKodesh, Ve'eilem Marim B'Cholashon. Some mitzvahs have to be, you can only be Yotze in Hebrew, you can't translate, like Birkas Kohanim, you cannot translate Yotze unless it's in the original Hebrew. And many mitzvahs of speech, you can be Yotze, either in Hebrew or in translation. Kriyashman, Shmona Esrein, Bekzamazen, a whole host of mitzvahs you can yotze in translation also. But the post can point that based on the Gemara Megillah, that there is even in a mitzvah where you have the right to yotze in translation, that you have more, there's a difference between yotze in Hebrew and in English or Portuguese or Sanskrit. And that difference is that you can be yotze belaz only if you're a low A's, only if you understand that language. If I speak English, I can say Kriyat Shema in English. If I grew up in Lisbon, I can say Kriyat Shema in Portuguese. But if I know no Portuguese, I cannot say Kriyat Shema in Portuguese. You can only say Kriyat Shema in a foreign language if you understand that language. Masha ain't okay in Hebrew. Hebrew, you could say Kriyat Shema in Hebrew even if you don't understand Hebrew. Obviously, it's better to understand. But your yotze just by saying it in the original Hebrew, even if you don't understand, unlike a foreign language. An exception, poskim writes Sfira Saomer. Sfira Saomer, if you can't in Hebrew, you don't know Hebrew, you weren't yotze anything. That's what many poskim have the opinion. You have to know what you're saying. There's no exception of, I said in Hebrew, so I'm yotze. There's no special exception for Hebrew. So number one, Sfira Saomer is not bound by Sfira Yom. Number two, Sfira Saomer, you're not automatically yotze just because you said in Hebrew, unless you understand the Hebrew. Number three, there are poskim of the opinion that there's no shomea ka'onet by Sfira Saomer. There is shomea ka'onet by the bracha. If I'm not sure that I'm chayav in a bracha, so I can be yotze with your bracha. But you'll say, Asherek Yishon Sesav Tzivan on Sfira Saomer, but then I'm going to do the hayom, yom, whatever, hayom shayom lomer, then I'm going to do it myself. And there are poskim of the opinion that you cannot listen to someone else's video. So the question is what? Why is there no Sfira Kidyoma? Why is there no automatic fulfillment with Hebrew, even if you understand it? And why might there be no Shamea Kona? Now the answer to all three, on the Shamea Kona issue, there's a Beis Halevi who develops the idea that there's no Shomea Kona by Duchening either. And there were Italian communities that had the practice that one Kohen would Duchen, well, all Kohen would stand their hands up, and once would say the Duchening, everyone else would just listen to Yotzer Shomea Kona. So basically, they thought that was incorrect. And the way the Stipler explains is that it's not a mitzvah to say words. Shomea Kona, Birkas Kohanim is a mitzvah to say it to someone else. It's to give the bracha. It's like a monologue, but it's a conversation. You're not, Yisrael doesn't respond, but I have to say it to you. It's not just a mitzvah of reciting words. I listen to you, Kilo, I recite the Kiddush. I listen to you, Kilo, I recite the creation. It's not just a recitation. It's a mitzvah of saying to someone else, conversation. It doesn't help, Kilo, I said the words. I didn't say it to you. I didn't say anything. So the Achronim would say, the Rav developed this more, that maybe Duchening, and this is a concept of Devar Avraham has. Maybe Duchening, Sfira Saomer also, it's not a mitzvah to say certain words, not a mitzvah recitation, it's a mitzvah to count. The way you count is verbally. It's not enough to count in your head, and you don't count on an abacus or on a computer with your finger, you have to count verbally with words. But it's not a mitzvah to recite a certain text, it's a mitzvah to count. So as a result, that might be why, as with Duchening, there might be no Shomea Kona. Working backwards, that might be why. It's not a mitzvah to say a certain text. And I say in Hebrew, I didn't understand, I still said the text. So I said the text of Kriyat Shema. Not very well, not as good as understanding, but I said the text. But here's not a mitzvah of Kriya, here's a mitzvah of Sfira. So I didn't count, I can say I counted. I'm just going through mumbo jumbo, I don't know what it means. So I may recite it, I didn't count. And like finally, Dvar Avraham has a radical idea. Dvar Avraham says, maybe, you know why there's no Sfeika Diyoma on Sfira Saomer? Dvar Avraham says, perhaps, that it's not called counting unless it's with certainty. By definition, to count is to count with certainty. Dvar Avraham even goes so far as to say, perhaps, let's say I had a longer Shmona Esrei, like how I'm done with my Shmona Esrei of Meir, people have left Shul, and I can't remember how many counts Sfira Saomer. I can't remember what night it is. And everyone else is done. I think tonight is 10. And it'll count 10 and 11. Or he'll just count 10. Dvar Avraham says he thinks, even if it turns out you guess right, you're still wrong. You're not yotze. You're not yotze unless you count with certitude. If you don't know what night it is and you just count because maybe it's this, that's not called counting. You said the word, but you didn't count. The Darbram goes as far as to suggest. He says maybe once they start in the middle of the Baisheni period, when they had to, because of the pressure from the Tzdukim, they had to stop the torch system and switch to the to sending out messengers and horseback, and that's when they began to have such a time lag. There's a sacred Yoma. Rav Avraham says maybe Jews and Babel stopped counting years only. The same way they had the mitzvah, but they couldn't do it. The same way we have a mitzvah of Karban Talmud, but we can't because we're in the Beis Hamikdash. We're in the Masna Shadow, so we can't. So they had a mitzvah, but they couldn't because it doesn't work with Sfeika. If you have a suffix, then you can't count. It doesn't work. So he says, maybe those couple of centuries, from the middle of the Baisheni period until the middle of the Amoraim, they finally did away with the end of the Sanhedrin. They switched to the fixed calendar. For those couple of centuries, maybe the Jews who had to deal with Sfeika Yoma could not be Mekayim Sfeiras Omer. They weren't Mekayim Trumas and Isers. They weren't Mekayim Sfeiras Omer. As a matter of fact, it explains a lot. I don't think he makes the point. Look at the Sugya Sfeiras Omer in Menachos in the Babli. You know, long, well over a blood, but brushes of different brushes. Bahayu Mechaz Shabbos means the first day of Chol Moed and not Sunday. And then Mamash just like three, four lines about from the Amoraim about Sfeira Salmer, and it's all very late Amoraim. Abaye, Neymar, Rabbanu Rei Rashi. All Rambam writes that the Kfir Saluch happened during the lifetime of Abaye. It fits well with the Rambam's suggestion. And then the hashkafa of this, it's not just about talking. It's not talking. It's a mitzvah to accomplish something with your use speech, but using speech to accomplish something. The mitzvah is to count. You count with words. It's not a mitzvah to talk. It's to get something done. It's certainly an important part of the avodah sphere itself, right? And it's something that perhaps is captured also by this rabbi. The very word dibur, it doesn't mean to speak. It doesn't really mean to speak as much as to have an idea and to push forward a project, to push forward a goal, to get stuff done. Something very important. We do a lot of talking with our mouths, we do a lot of talking with our fingers, and it's important to make sure that you're getting something done, not just talking. What am I trying to accomplish? At the very least, through my rap, to make think about what I say before it goes sour, and ideally, to have a goal in mind and then speak towards that goal. And finally, just to take a brief peek at the final closing line of the Rabban, the time by Yidom Aharon, what does it mean he was quiet? The Rabban seems to understand it means he quieted down. The Rabban says maybe Aharon was bawling. He lost his two sons. And Moshe comes over, and however you understand what it is that he said, Hu Hashem Amar Diber Hashem, but Yidom Aharon means not that he was speaking and he quieted down, but his crying quite enough. O ketam al tidom basenecha. Says, or it may not be that he was crying loudly. Maybe the verb to be domain could refer to crying. Right. That's what's natural. Does it mean that he was like screaming, crying, bawling out loud, and then it sort of quieted down, or does it mean that he stopped crying? A powerful image, and a collection of very powerful ideas.